Welcome back, everyone. I am Cass Piancy, and I am joined, as usual, by my partner in crime, Bennett Tomlin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Cass. How are you?
I'm good. It's an early morning recording today, and I'm sipping on some coffee, and I'm feeling good. I also am feeling good. Today, we're talking about an issue very close to my heart right now, which is and going on everywhere. And I really want to get into this, and I'm going to be asking for some listener help. I'll kind of explain the help that I'm looking for at the end of this episode, but I will be looking for some assistance. And this verification scam, which is the main scam that we're going to be kind of referring to here, has been everywhere on Twitter, on Instagram. I don't use Facebook, but if there's verified accounts on Facebook, then the same thing is happening there. This is a rampant problem. Bennett, can you just kind of describe what I'm even talking about in terms of the verification scam? Like,
yeah.
How do you know what these accounts are? Like, what am I talking about?
Well, I think anyone on Twitter who has published a tweet that includes the phrase NFT in it is going to figure out what you're talking about, because within seconds, your tweet will be liked by these verified accounts with a couple tens of thousands of followers who often will have a DM for business inquiries or DM for paid promo in their location thing. And so there are these verified accounts that go around automatically liking a bunch of tweets in a certain area. And I believe what you're talking about, that the scam in specific here, is that the verified accounts are no longer run by the individuals who were verified.
That's correct. I've been getting really deep into the weeds of this because I also was I was noticing it a lot. And sometimes you don't even have to include the word NFT. Sometimes you don't even have to include the word cryptocurrency. These guys, they understand who's active on cryptocurrency Twitter or on business Twitter. They also probably just shotgun it out generally. So they're farming engagement in terms of they have these, I don't know if it's just rows of phones or one phone on an algorithm or how they're doing it. But basically, these accounts go around liking thousands of tweets every day. The reason they say DM us for business inquiries is because when you do DM them, what they expect you to want is for them to retweet or quote tweet or offer a giveaway on their account for your NFT project or your cryptocurrency project. So they'll quote you a number. They'll quote you, let's say, 0.05 ETH for a retweet. And you can easily, I urge, please, listeners, if you have some time and you see these accounts, if you can please DM them and ask them, just straight up ask them, how much are they charging for engagement, and forward that answer along to me. If you can, take a screenshot of it. I want to know. This is totally, it breaks every TOS rule for Twitter. And it's gross. I think everyone can just agree that it's gross. You don't want to see these engagement farming, essentially advertisements crossing your timeline. Always. It's annoying, it's fake engagement, and it's awful. So I'm asking for that, but let's go back a step right now, because these accounts are being compromised. So let's talk about what's going on with that. Why are they getting compromised? What is happening here?
Twitter, at the very least, and Twitter's the social media I'm most familiar with, but I'm assuming this applies to many of the others too. Once you become verified, the algorithm becomes much more likely to show your post to your followers or to other people in under trending topics. And so getting retweets, quote tweets, interactions from a verified account can help really spread a piece of media. And so these specific accounts are being targeted because they are accounts that Twitter has verified. And my guess is the users originally behind these accounts used the same password for their Twitter account as they did for another account. And so when it was exposed in a data breach or something like that, the account gets compromised, it gets sold to these scammer groups, and then they use it to try to bring attention to these projects by doing these quote tweets, these retweets, largely like that.
And there's, of course, other ways to have your account get compromised besides your password being leaked and not having two-factor authentication on. You can have your accounts for a while. Simjacking was like the major way that accounts were getting compromised.
What they're generally doing is they're calling into your phone carrier and using social engineering techniques like our friend Razzlecon to convince them to write your phone number to a new SIM card that they control. They're able to use the forgot password flow on a lot of these sites to then get reset codes and stuff sent to the number that now they control, and in doing so are able to compromise other accounts. This is why when you're setting up two-factor authentication, you want to try to always avoid using SMS and preferably rely on security keys or alternately like Google Authenticator or an app like that that's generating codes, because you are at risk of being SIM-jacked if you're a high-profile target.
And at this point, I would like to share a story about someone I spoke to personally recently. Her name is Caitlin Easton. She's a Scottish news reporter. She's a journalist. She had her Twitter account verified something like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And within 15 minutes of her account getting verified, her Twitter got hacked, her Instagram got hacked, her Gmail got hacked. Every account that she basically had was gone. And within a day, the person who had taken her Twitter account, she had 500 followers on Twitter when her account was verified and then compromised. And that shot up to something like 50 to 75,000 in a day or two. Now I think that account has over 100,000 followers. It's at Caitlin_Easton. They're clearly doing an NFT scam. They won't respond to me because they know that I know they stole this account and paid to have this account. What happens here, let's go into this a bit, is that these people compromise the accounts. Once the account is compromised, there's a bunch of websites that these scammers go to where they sell these verified accounts at a high premium. The numbers I've been quoted, and this, if you know something more than I do, please reach out and let me know. But the numbers I've been quoted range from $1,000 to $5,000, depending on how big or small the verified account is, and then they sell it. Now, why would someone want to buy a verified account for that much money? How are they earning money, Bennett? I mean, that you have to ask yourself at this point, why would anyone pay that much money for a Twitter account or an Instagram account?
Well, and I think it's what we already touched on. It's that they're able to sell then the ability for that account to promote other things. And so they're able to get a whole bunch of crappy, scammy, bullshit NFT and crypto projects to fork over currency, probably in the form of Ether or whatever, to get these promos. And so it is worthwhile to perhaps invest a couple thousand dollars into securing these accounts if you're reasonably confident you'll be able to make more than that in selling these bullshit promos.
And here's where it gets really interesting, because these guys are obviously able to make a living doing this. And they know that there's all of this stuff gets priced in terms of a timeline. They know that these accounts eventually are going to get shut down. It's a matter of when will they get shut down. So for instance, if they are able to compromise, which we saw, I think it was last year or the year before, they were able to compromise some major, major Twitter accounts. I think they compromised Bill Gates, and they instantly started shilling a bunch of cryptocurrency bullshit. But those accounts got shut down almost like within minutes of doing that, they were shut down, right? So the return on something like that is going to be pretty small and insignificant for the scammers who are doing it. You can't really charge that much, I would assume, for accounts like that, because the engagement is just not going to be there and you're going to lose the account almost instantly. Whereas what's happening with Caitlin Easton is that she's reached out to Twitter multiple times. They've been completely unresponsive. Surprise. And in the meantime, this person has, like I said, accumulated 100,000 plus followers, and is definitely, you can go on their Twitter page right now and you can see all the NFT projects that are paying these scammers to engage for them, and Twitter is doing nothing about it. And so this boils down to the part where I think listeners need to know, you can actually, this is like a recycling commercial or something, you can actually make a difference here. If you see these accounts, you gotta report them. You have to report them, because it's no longer a matter of like just being like, oh, well, it's a scam, I'm gonna move on. Actually, what's happening is the more times that you just ignore it and don't bother to report these giant accounts, the more followers they get, the more people they trick, and the more money they're able to accumulate. And so it's always going to be worth it to them. And you're going to see more and more compromised accounts. It's actually up to the Twitter users to try to report these accounts as much as possible.
Well, and really, it should be up to Twitter, the platform, to appropriately deal with their bot problem. That's never been one of their priorities, at least in the several years I've been on the platform. Before we move on, one thing you touched on there was the difference between this current method of scamming and the one we saw a couple years ago towards the end of the 2017 bull run, where these verified accounts would get compromised and then you'd see them in the replies to Elon Musk tweets doing like the send one Bitcoin, get two Bitcoin back scam. That was apparently easy enough for Twitter to identify and deal with. So they've now switched to this more subtle method where they're basically trying to rebrand themselves as like NFT influencers and then just having people reach out to them through DMs instead of publicly to try to get these paid promos. And I think one of perhaps the problems that Twitter is having is that it's difficult to tell a legitimate NFT influencer from an illegitimate NFT influencer.
But I do actually want to touch on that because there are some giveaways. There are some key giveaways that that people need to understand that you need to look out for when you see this kind of thing. So if you see a verified account, first of all, they're going to have some sort of NFT PFP, right? It's either going to be like a pudgy penguin or a bored ape or something. That is not theirs for sure. It's just they've right-clicked and saved it, and they've decided to use it as their PFP. It won't be an actual NFT PFP that they have. It'll just be one of those. What you'll also see is that they have a ton of followers. They have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of followers, and none of their followers are followers that you share. None of them. Or maybe one or two of your idiot followers if you follow a lot of stupid people. So for the most part, these people are not going to be followed by anybody you know. They're going to have a ton of followers. They're going to have an NFT PFP. And when you look at what they're tweeting, they're going to tweet things like, I'll like a tweet of yours if you like a tweet of mine, or good morning, everyone. What NFT project are you hyped about today? And then when you look at their bio, here's another key giveaway. It'll usually say something like, YouTuber or model, and then there'll be some stupid emojis, and then they'll say something like Black Lives Matter, and they'll try to make it look like they are like they care about actual causes, and that's total bullshit. So those are the key takeaways. Generally, that's the best method I know. Like you said, a lot of them will say DM for business inquiries. So these are the key things that you have to watch out for if you want to try to spot these accounts. And like I said, whether you know it or not right now, you have absolutely engaged with these people before. They have liked your tweets. I can almost 100% guarantee it.
They've certainly liked my tweets. And so now whenever I see one of them like my tweet, I click over, click the three dots next to their name, report this account. This account is hacked. Block.
Why I want to talk about this so badly is that I think there's a lot of layers to this scam, right? So already what we've touched on, there's the first layer of the scam where hackers are able to, in one way or another, compromise your account. That's layer one, because they're hacking it not to obtain personal information. They're not trying to blackmail you. They're compromising your account so that they can resell your account. So that's part one. And there's like I said, there's a lot of marketplaces. They're not even, it's not like dark web marketplaces. You can go right now to these websites on Google, find these websites, and they operate. I don't even understand how they operate. I don't understand how they haven't been shut down. Regardless, okay, so that's layer one of this scam. Layer two of this scam is that they sell that account to a different scammer now. And that scammer is doing an engagement scam. What they're doing is they're trying to get projects, public relations teams, individuals, whoever, to give them cryptocurrency to retweet, quote tweet, whatever. And that gets us to level three of the scam, which is these projects and these public relations teams, which they know that these people are scammers. They know that this person is not who they say they are, or if they don't, they're so naive they shouldn't be in business, and they're paying them. And so you have to wonder why they think that's acceptable and how this could possibly actually be paying off for them. It must work, which is incredible to me. Like, every level of this scam blows my mind that it even works. There's a whole ecosystem, a thriving dark market ecosystem that starts with compromised Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook accounts.
You said it costs what, like 0.2 ETH or 0.02 ETH right now to get some promo?
So there's all these different promos. This is what they'll all do if you ask them, hey, how much for engagement? They'll respond and they'll say anywhere between, and I'm not going to quote in Ethereum. I'm going to quote in dollars here because they change their Ethereum prices when price goes wildly up or down. It's between $50 and $150 for a retweet. It's between, I'll say, like $75 and $300 for a quote tweet. It's $300 plus for a giveaway. And they do these fake giveaways, right? They go, quote tweet this, retweet this, comment below, and give it a like, and you're entered in our giveaway to win an NFT or whatever. That costs $500+. And then there's change my bio for up to 3 days, and that's like $1,000 or something, because I guess a lot of people are clicking their bios and going to websites. I don't know. So there's different levels to this for sure. And like you said, you just need a few, I would assume you just need a few of these to work out for the account that you purchased to pay itself off.
Well, and from the other side, from the project's perspective, I think there's a couple things contributing here. Like if you can get one or two marginal minters for an NFT project, you'll pay off that cost for the promo, right? You get a couple more secondary sales and your royalty is going to easily pay for whatever you're paying these scammers. And like, plus we talked about this a little bit way back in like episode 22 when we had Robert Greene on. Many crypto projects expect to have to pay people to promote these things. Like, and this is common for a lot of projects. Influencer marketing is a thing that happens. Crypto is especially slimy because it is very rarely disclosed. Very often the influencers, like we talked about way back in episode 9, are getting in at a meaningful discount and things like that. And so I think this is very much native to the crypto culture. People expect crypto projects to pay crypto influencers, whether in the token or in cash or in whatever, to promote these things. And that's just part of doing business in crypto.
And look, I think getting paid to be an influencer is not something I think is like a heroic endeavor, but it's fine, right? I think no one likes to see it, but at least with like YouTube, in the middle of a YouTube video, the person will say like, all right, time to do an ad. We're sponsored by whatever, Raycon, or you know, like whatever crappy headphone set that they're repping. But they make it clear it's an advertisement, and then usually, oftentimes enough, you can actually see where to skip to in the video to get past this ad. It's much different than just being like a trusted somebody on Twitter who's just happily, you know, shitposting and tweeting and engaging with your audience. And then I think we see it a lot with that guy, what was his name? Wolf of All Streets. Hello, I'm Morgan. I am happy to name names here because these people did this, right? These people actually they broke FTC rules and regulations. They did not disclose that they were advertising. He would say stuff like, oh, this low-cap shitcoin looks like it's ready for a bull run, and then would dump all the coins right after that, right? And so if that's not an advertisement, I don't know what is. But those are different scams than the ones we're talking about. And the ones we're talking about are in a sense, like, just as insidious and just as gross, because those people are taking their trusted name brand and essentially not divulging that they're advertising. These people are illegally compromising accounts and then illegally doing a business transaction on those through those accounts where they're impersonating someone else. They're essentially doing identity theft. And then I will make a bet that they are not reporting any of the money that they're earning from this scam. You never know, right?
I mean, I'm not taking the other side.
I'm just wondering what you would even report that as. I mean, what are you going to report it as? You're going to report it as like business income? Okay, I hope the IRS doesn't ask you what your business is.
Media consulting.
Yeah, media consulting, right. And when I say the IRS doesn't ask you what this is, I mean, that's probably total nonsense. None of these scammers probably live in the United States of America. I think a lot of this stuff is what we generally assign to like Russian and Ukrainian hackers. And I think that it's probably fair. A lot of the people that I've interacted with, when I DM them and ask them for prices and stuff to see how much they're charging, it's clear to me that English is not their first language.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it reminds me of like penny stock boiler rooms, right? Where you've got similar concept adapted to a different market, right? Instead of the penny stocks paying the boiler room to promote it so that the bucket shop makes their spread, it's the NFT project paying these compromised accounts to go out and shill it to the dumbest of the dumb masses they can find, all in the hopes that the NFT project, instead of the shit penny stock pumps on the news.
It tells you so much, I think. That's why I want to talk about this story. That's why I wanted us to do an episode about it. One, obviously it's prevalent. Obviously it's everywhere. We're seeing it all the time. But also, like you said, it's just an accepted part of cryptocurrency. And these people are doing business with actual projects. Like, people think these projects are quite legitimate. And maybe they are. Maybe their intentions are totally fine. As Mike Green said in the last episode, like, most of these people probably don't have bad intentions necessarily, right? But also, it speaks to due diligence. So if any of these projects are reaching out to these people and actually willing to pay this money, first of all, they're breaking terms of service for Twitter without even caring, which kind of sucks. But then two, they're doing no due diligence, which we know this is normal because we talk about it with Tether, we talk about it with Bitfinex, we talk about it with all the companies who did business with Crypto Capital Core. It's a normal thing for people to do zero due diligence. And we talked about like how much of it is similar to Theranos, where you had funds being like, oh my God, she's going to get mad if we ask questions. Forget it. Just take my money. And you're like, well, that is not what you should do ever. Please, please, I beg projects to stop. I know they're not going to, but please don't do this. No one likes it. No one wants to see this shit. It's driving me really crazy, and there's only two ways to really stop it. It's to report these accounts, which is unfortunate. Like you said, it shouldn't be our job. And the second part would be for these fucking PR companies and projects to stop paying these scammers. So stop it.
Yeah, It's fucking exhausting. And we talked about this way back in episode 9. We talked about it again in episode 22. We're talking about it now in episode 53 or whatever this is. And you've mentioned it. There's FTC rules on like what you need to do, how you need to legally disclose. There's SEC rules if there's any chance that your thing could be considered a token or considered a security. There's a whole bunch of rules on how you're legally allowed to promote securities. And most of these rules exist, these regulations exist, in order to make it so that the marketing of these companies, of these products, of whatever, doesn't unduly take advantage of those who are the most vulnerable. And in cryptocurrency, there is such a belief system founded on ignoring all regulations, all rules, no matter what the intention. And it often seems as though the goals of these projects is to, in a sense, almost take advantage of the lack of knowledge of other people, so that they assume that these people, these golfers, these whatever, are actually endorsing these projects and are actually doing these things. And it is deeply duplicitous and wrong to do that.
I think we see this a lot in other industries as well. And as Ben McKenzie put it, it feels like capitalism. And I don't even want to call it capitalism because I don't think that's fair. I think of capitalism the same way I think of like communism, in that it's this utopian ideal. It's not a real thing that exists in the world. But money, like the desire to have money, let's just put it that way. I don't think that does not encompass capitalism. That's what people think capitalism is. This desire to want money has overtaken things like trying to understand why these rules and regulations exist. And you'll have semi-legitimate, or dare I say legitimate, projects actually working with these scammers. Because like you said, it's worth it for them. The risk-reward ratio there is no risk. There's no risk. It's all reward. How can I prove that any of these companies even paid these influencers any money, right? It's besides finding out via what these scammers' wallets are, which I think this is my final point, everybody. What I would love, I know a lot of listeners are quite busy, maybe not even on Twitter. Totally cool. Understood. If you have time and if you see this stuff, reach out to these people. Ask them how much for engagement. And if you could, this is what I've been doing. I go, oh, sweet. Okay. I'd love to get a retweet then. And then they'll say, okay, send it to this Ethereum address. Once they tell you that wallet, please send me that wallet address. Let me see that wallet address so that I can follow all of their transactions on the blockchain, so that I can see which projects are paying these scammers, and so that I can see exactly how much money these scammers are getting when they compromise these accounts. Again, I understand most of you don't have time for that nonsense. Totally cool. I get it. But if any of you do, most of these people won't respond to me anymore. They know who I am. So if you could do that, And that just throws a wrench in their plans anyway. If they have to start suspecting that everybody's lying to them to get their wallet address, they've got to be a lot more careful and spend more money and spin up more wallets. And it makes their life difficult. So can we all work together on this one, please, for the betterment of Twitter? Because Twitter ain't doing shit.
So if you have time, try to help us throw some wrenches into the plans of some ill-intentioned scammers. And if you don't want to do that, we would really appreciate it if you share this episode with someone you think could enjoy it, or leave a rating or review. Those things really help us grow this, and we deeply appreciate all of your support. Thank you.